No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to, Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and... Wait a minute. Keith? No. Ed? Nowhere to be seen. It's just me. I'm flying solo. So you're going to have to take that for what it's worth. And whether it'll last for the whole flight, I don't know. I mean, I might be called around on my second fly around and my instructor will come in and pull me out of the cockpit. We'll have to wait and see how it develops. But I do have someone who's willing to help me out in the meantime, and that is Tom Haynes from AOPA. So rest assured, you are in safe hands. Tom, welcome to Just Plane Radio. How are you, my friend?
Hello, Greg, and you're flying solo. That is a little scary for you and the people nearby, I got to say.
Well, the people underneath me my direct flight path, yes, they've been forewarned. But we'll manage, you know, and I got AOPA on my side.
Fly with AOPA, we like to say.
Exactly. So, you know, you have been doing some crazy stuff over the last few weeks. We talked to you a couple weeks ago, and you'd been to Cuba, you'd been, you know, in the UK, you know, flying out of sandstorms. It was insane what you've been up to. And I'm guessing you finally had some time to stay back home and decompress since the last time we spoke. Am I right or no?
Yeah, actually, my dog actually recognizes me now when I come home. And
That's a good feeling.
The kids don't run away and that kind of thing. So,
the door.
A little bit of time home.
Yeah, have you experienced that thing where you come home and the door locks have been changed? You haven't had that one happen yet, right?
No.
Okay.
Or the other guy running out the driveway?
Yes, exactly. but we'll leave that one alone. But
yes, we will.
But you're home, and I know AOPA had their first big fly-in of the season here a couple weeks ago. How did that go?
We did. That was in Beaufort, North Carolina, and it turned out great. We actually had a wonderful time, and I think all the members who came by, we had almost more than 1,800 people show up, which is actually nice attendance. And given how lousy the weather forecast was all week, and actually the rain we had Friday night and into Saturday morning, it's surprising that we had such great attendance. But we had a nice barnstormers party on Friday evening before the show actually started, and the weather was good enough on Friday that people got in. We had 150 airplanes on the ground or something Friday night.
Now, what does that mean, barnstormers meeting or what? What
do you barnstormers party? Yeah, man, that's the place to be every Friday night ahead of our fly-ins around the country. We've got a big party, usually barbecue or something like that, band at the hangar, and just a good time to hang out and do some hangar flying, literally. So you don't want to miss that on Friday night ahead of each of our fly-ins. Then on Saturday, it rained like crazy overnight, thunderstorms, lightning in the middle of the night. I was out at the airport at 4:30 in the morning, and by 4:45, I was ankle deep in water. So you can imagine how my day went.
I can imagine it was a little wet.
It was. We were all a little damp, but a lot of standing water. But in the end, folks showed up, and the rain stopped by about 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, something like that. And then we had another shower pass through about 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the day, sun came out, and we had a wonderful afternoon. And covered a lot of good issues. Mark Baker did his pilot town hall. We had an ice cream social, and so seminars and exhibit static display. So
I saw some picture on Facebook of a big tub being filled with syrup. Was that for the pancake breakfast? Did that get Did that get rained out a little bit or no?
Nope, we went ahead with it. It's a rain or shine kind of thing. Everything was tented, and so I was flipping pancakes by about 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning, something like that, and sausages. And we cooked breakfast for, I don't know, 600-700 people, and had a grand time.
Very nice. Well, it sounds like the attendance, even though the weather was not cooperating totally, attendance was good, so this is a good sign for the season of fly-ins with AOPA, I guess, right?
Yes, sir, it sure is. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, the next one happens when? And well, then go to aopa.com/fly-in, I believe. Is that right? Is that the website?
aopa.org, yep.
Oh,
slash fly-in.
Yeah.
And it's It's August 20th in Bremerton, Washington, just outside of Seattle. And we got some really cool Friday afternoon events planned for that one. So stand by for more details on that, but it'll be worth going.
Very good. All right. And obviously, this is a great opportunity to go in and just have fun and socialize with your fellow aviators. But it is a great opportunity to talk to the movers and shakers that are following the issues up in Washington and other issues that affect aviators around the world. For those folks that do this as their gig, like Tom. So it's a great way to network. So I would imagine among those issues and, you know, whether, you know, you're supposed to go into a male and female bathroom in North Carolina, that was probably not really spoken about. You guys were talking about, what, third-class medical and maybe this Icon airplane thing that hit last week. What's going on with that?
Well, we certainly talked about third-class medical at the fly-in, and that was always a subject of interest for pilots. And Mark Baker updated folks. And so here's where we are. We're expecting any moment, and maybe by the time you even hear this, we will have the third time that the Senate will have passed the Pilot's Bill of Rights language that includes third-class medical reform, and it is being attached to the aviation defense or the defense bill, which is the defense authorization bill. And so, anyhow, with that, it will have passed the Senate three times. So that's a lot of momentum that we can go back to the House and say, look, guys, you're the ones holding this up. Mm-hmm. Let's get off the dime and get this thing passed. Congressman Schuster over in the House has that same or similar language for reform in his FAA reauthorization bill. However, it also includes ATC privatization. And user fees. And AOPA just has said for decades, user fees not going to fly. And so there doesn't seem to be a lot of momentum or enthusiasm in the rest of the House for air traffic privatization at this point. And there's no enthusiasm in the Senate for it. So the hope is that we can get this introduced into the House and that Congressman Schuster will allow that to happen in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. And we can get this thing passed. And so there is still quite a bit of enthusiasm for it that we may get this done this summer.
Well, there you go. All right. They always have to attach all this extra stuff to it. It's really frustrating. That's why nothing ever seems to get done up there, it seems like. But maybe, like you said, the momentum is in our favor finally, and we'll see where that evolves. All right. But what about this Icon airplane? You know, back at Sun and Fun, you know, the big news was they had put out this buyer's contract that created quite a stink with some potential buyers that said, like, look, if you do this, this, and this, you can't have the plane. And it created all kinds of uproar. What, 40-page document to buy the airplane? And there was a little bit of backlash. They took some negative press, and they backtracked a little bit. I was thinking, okay, yeah, they'll manage. You know, this wasn't the best PR they could have expected, but they'll weather the storm. And then, lo and behold, you know, a week ago, yeah, the press release hits that they're letting off a bunch of people. It's like, oh, my God, this doesn't look good, Tom. What's going on? What are you hearing?
Yeah, we're hearing the same things, of course. And, you know, in some ways, it's not surprising. This is a new airplane company, a startup, and we've seen this happen before with startups. Cirrus, which, you know, is a household name in aviation now, but back in 1999 when they got their airplane certified and had their first customer delivery, between there and to 2000 and 2001, it was touch and go whether that company was going to survive, because getting an airplane approved for manufacturing and then actually ramping up the manufacturing is very difficult, very expensive, far more time-consuming than anybody imagines, and that's where we are today with Icon. They got the airplane approved, and they had enough money to get that done, and now they're discovering that manufacturing in volume takes a lot more capital than anybody anticipates. So they have kind of scaled back their projections and their operations to help align it with their available funds. And they have told their customers, position holders, that it's going to be about another year before they start delivering in any kind of volume. They're going to only deliver about 20 airplanes in the next year, as opposed to the 175 that they said they were going to deliver in the next year. Mm-hmm. They've also, though, you mentioned that contract, pretty interesting what they've done there as well. They've rolled that back from, like you say, it was a 30 or 40 page document down to about a dozen pages or so.
Right.
And taken out some of the more onerous things and given more clarity in some cases. I mean, like they removed the 30-year life limit on the airframe. And so that's gone away completely. You still have to agree to a 10-year airframe overhaul, but they put at least a cap on that that'll cost no more than $15,000 for those 10-year overhauls. So that leaves at least give the buyer some comfort in knowing what your future investment's going to be.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really hope they do weather the storm. I mean, it's kind of depressing to see a company have to go through that type of restructuring because the product looks awesome, at least from the videos and the people that I have talked to that have flown in that plane. They love it. So I hope they can get over this little speed bump and make things happen. So we'll have to just wait and see, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we will. We all wish them luck because everybody who's flown the airplane thinks it's a really nice airplane, and they're certainly focused on trying to bring new people into aviation, and of course we would welcome that. We definitely need that. So we'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, they got to give me one. That's all they got to do, and their problems will be solved. That's one solution they'll probably file in number 13 file. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Tom Haines, AOPALive.org. Check them out. More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night.
Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your dive safety association.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
$6 in my right nut says we're not landing in Chicago.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me. And look who's just arrived. It's Captain Keith. Yes, I'm not flying solo now.
I am here.
Because Tom had to split, and Tom was like, he was feeling guilty. He didn't want to leave me flying solo, and just in the nick of time to save the day.
So Captain even he Keith. Doesn't trust you?
Heck no. Well, does anybody?
Smart man, Tom.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll just move on, because if we keep talking about that, all it's going to do is make me look worse than I already do. All right. By the way, coming up as we navigate the latest aviation news and information, what if Trump becomes president? What does that mean in aviation? And I'm going to just leave that lie for now. We don't expect to get too political. So I'll just leave that for that. And how to get a sunroof in your airplane. On purpose, I should say. Maybe I should.
I'm not sure we want that in such a forum.
Yeah, yeah. But before we continue on into that direction, you know, we talked about this Icon airplane that, you know, Tom and I discussed earlier. And you haven't seen this in person yet. Is that right, Keith?
I've seen the videos that they played at, like, Sun and Fun in Oshkosh. We looked at it at Oshkosh last year.
Right.
When we were there.
Yep. And I love it. I think it looks like a cool plane.
Yeah.
And it's really designed to be a very easy flying plane, which definitely appealed to me. And I was like, hey, I might be able to even fly this thing because supposedly it's very forgiving as far as stalls and things like that.
Easy to store. You can store it in your garage.
Right, because the
wings fold.
They fold up and you can put it in your garage and tow it along the back of your car or whatever truck.
Yep.
That kind of thing.
It's got a parachute on it.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't remember if it had a parachute or not.
Yeah,
I guess you're right.
It has a parachute on it.
I mean, it looked very exciting. Then that, you know, purchase agreement thing got debuted there at Sun and Fun and created a bit of a wrinkle in their PR campaign. And they came out and kind of backtracked, like I said, and that kind of thing. But lo and behold, you know, last week they say they're going to go from delivering 20 airplanes in 2016, or maybe it was 17, I'm not sure, but down from 175, and then eliminate 60 full-time jobs and 90 part-time jobs in contracted positions. They currently have about 160 workers, so that does not look good. And I don't want to see them go under, but that's pretty substantial. That's a big, big cutback.
Yeah, that's a big hit. That's a big hit. And that was for 2016.
Okay.
Yeah. 175 airplane deliveries to 20.
Yeah. I'm guessing that is not going to go over very well. Now, and I don't know if that doesn't necessarily mean why. It means they've sold way more than 20 airplanes. They just can't deliver them,
right.
I believe, right? So I don't know what the problem is. You know, that purchase agreement issue might have slowed down some of the, you know, purchasing agreements maybe, but I thought they had way more than that sold, didn't they?
I thought they did too. Maybe they were just touting that and really didn't have the actual numbers. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I guess time will tell, but we do wish them the best because, you know, when anything like that happens, that's not good for general aviation as a whole. Would you agree with me on that,
Keith? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, even if you're not a
especially
fan
in
of
this,
the airplane.
In this age when we don't have a lot of training airplanes.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to get more people involved in aviation in any way.
Mm-hmm.
This looked like a neat airplane to be able to do that with.
Well, and they were
cut the cost of hangaring an airplane at your local airport.
Yeah.
You know, by being able to tow it home and park
it in
your garage.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of benefits. They really thought through this thing quite a bit, and they've been working through the process to streamline the certification process of the Icon, I believe as well.
Right.
You know, cut through a lot of red tape to get that to market quicker than people thought they could or thought was possible back in the day. Well, maybe we're there proving that, hey, you still can't beat that whole process because something has put a wrinkle in their plan. So we'll see how that unfolds. Now, you know, maybe it's just the economy. Maybe it's one of those business-type things. Who knows? And maybe they're not seeing the demand that they thought they would at this point.
It could also just be the certification process.
Well, it could be, too. I don't know. But I thought they got the clearance on all that stuff. I thought they were pretty much good to go in that regard.
Yeah, the government can always change their mind.
Well, that's true. Or change the regime.
That's right.
And, you know, as we approach this election in November, here's the deal. What happens if Trump becomes president? Now, that is not a political question. Actually, I saw this post on AOPA's forum once again. I've been perusing their, you know, their all those posts and crazy stuff out there. That's where I got the tarantula story last week.
Right.
And this story, a guy posted a question.
Are you still creepy crawling, though?
Listen, I don't even want to think about the spiders on airplanes. We don't need to go there. Anyway, so
I'll talk to your wife and have
let's talk
put
about
a couple
Trump
on your bed.
This might affect people in a similar fashion.
I bet I could get your wife to do it.
Hey, just quit it. Just stop it. All right, so if he becomes president, the question was not would it affect aviation from a you know, economic standpoint. The question was, what would it do when it comes to presidential TFRs? Because he lives in New York City, and he would be going back and forth from Trump Tower to the White House. And can you imagine a TFR being popped up over New York City all the time like that for a presidential thing? You think it's bad enough when, you know, President Obama comes to Orlando and shuts you guys down for a few hours. You know what I'm saying?
Or even Vice President Biden.
True.
He was just here just for the Invictus Games.
Well, there you go. So,
shut us down.
Yeah, you know, but his question was, look, hey, Trump it goes to New York all the time, and how are we going to manage this if they put up these TFRs? Now, the commercial carriers, they made a joke. Someone put a joke, and I was like, well, it won't affect the commercial guys because they'll just be IFR'd in around it regardless. They don't care.
Right.
However, for general aviation in the area of New York City, this could be a major nightmare.
Well, however, when he's president, he's not going to be going, quote-unquote, home to New York all that often.
Well, he'll
be living in the White House.
Yeah, but still, I mean, even when the president, you know, travels away for a business trip or some meeting or something, it creates havoc in that particular area. You know, he's going to be going to New York quite a bit.
Oh yeah,
I mean, he has Trump Tower. He, you know, he'll still have to fly in there on a helicopter or something, and then they'll have to clear the airspace for him and all that kind of stuff. You know, I would imagine on a much bigger scale. Now, this isn't up to him. This is a Secret Service thing.
It is.
It has nothing to do with his personal preference of disrupting your aviation, you know, aspirations there.
However,
in the
those
Big
were
Apple.
Put into place because of. Never mind. Let's move on.
Yeah,
we're not going to make this political.
We're not going to make this political. Exactly. We're just going to talk about how it could affect your aviation thing, especially if you want to fly. So if he does become president, just keep in mind that you may want to avoid the Big Apple.
That's right.
Or fly commercial. And there you go.
Even the commercial flights are held for the arrivals and departures.
They are?
Yes, they are.
He's in town.
They are.
Well, make America great again when at least he's not in town.
That's right.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals, FTPros.com. You want to look them up and learn how to fly with Keith and Ed as your flight instructors. That is how you would begin. All right, so I got another story here. We covered this, a few weeks ago, a couple months ago. I had a story where they're looking to put in LED screens on the top of the cabin. So, for instance, you could be on a jet, like a 320 Airbus or something, right? And have no windows whatsoever. And the ceiling and the entire hull is covered with LED-type plasma display or something, and they project the sky above you. So it looks like you're flying through space, which would be kind of cool. You see the artist renderings. This is something they got in the works. It's already been patented, I guess, some of the airlines have gotten approval to develop these windowless planes. It makes them sleeker. And yet they would have cameras set outside the plane to make it look like you're actually flying through space. You wouldn't know any different because you're just seeing the image as opposed to a window.
Right.
That'd be kind of cool, huh?
It would be kind of cool. Although some people would probably
freak out,
get a little vertigo, or
when they look down. Yeah. Don't look down. Whatever you do.
What I want to see is when they do that to the floor.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They can do it all the way around.
It to the floor so you can see the ocean you're flying over or the mountains that you're flying over.
True. Well, they
better get the 6X ready.
Yes, exactly. Oh, well, they can project whatever thing they want.
There would be some projection going on.
Projectile. Yeah, well, that's not good enough for some folks. A new option in some jets has just been announced of sunroofs, where they'll actually put a sunroof. And I've seen the pictures of these. Have actually, they're already on some private jets. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that.
They actually have sunroofs built into the top of the airplane, or windows, like porthole type things, all throughout the top of the airplane to give it a sunroof kind of vibe. Open it up a bit. The virtual part isn't good enough for the rich folks. So if you want that option, it's available now.
Be able to look up and see the lightning bolts.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
About this time, someone is telling you to get on the plane. Get on the plane, get on the plane. I say, you, I'm getting in the plane. In the plane. Let Evel Knievel get on the plane. I'll be in here with you folks in uniform.
I be flying high, yeah, I be flying high. Shawty, I be flying high, yeah, I be flying high. Shawty, I be flying high. It take long to get this fly. If you ain't up on my level, disappear, please don't reply. Bye.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, Captain Keith. We are your crew today, navigating the latest aviation news and information. All right, so let's say, you know, you went back and you decided to go through all the stuff in your parents' attic. You know, it's one of those times where you have to clear out the house. They've moved away, or they want you to sell it, or they've passed away, and you've had to get the group together, and you're cleaning out the house. A lot of people would go through that stuff, and you find
they make
some
TV shows about that.
They
stuff.
They do, yeah. Hoarders, maybe. No, I don't think that's the
Antique Roadshow.
Okay, that's right. You could find some kind of cool thing up there in the attic. You know, going through all this old stuff, and you never know. And like you said, those shows, they usually pull up these little gems and end up making thousands and thousands of dollars from some cool collectible thing. And they find very unique items sometimes as well. And you came across one that I don't think I've seen on any show, at least not yet. But this would be truly a unique thing to find in your attic if you're cleaning it out. Am I right?
Especially in an attic, a 1909 Curtiss Pusher airplane was found.
Okay,
in somebody's attic.
They found an airplane in the attic, and it had flown in there and crashed many years ago.
Right through the windows, and it just left it in there.
Awesome.
It was in 84 different pieces.
Oh, okay.
And they were all wrapped in the Boston Globe newspaper.
Hmm. And what's that all about?
Well, I think it was just, you know,
a fan of the Boston Globe?
Well, I mean, it was found in a home in Massachusetts.
Right.
And the owners of the home at the time owned a manufacturing firm that worked on making heating and air conditioning parts.
Okay.
And so, at any rate, or I should say heating and cooling system parts.
Hmm.
They didn't have air conditioning back then.
Right. Okay. But, well, that makes sense.
But at any rate, so this airplane, they have figured out, probably has never flown and has now been worked at, been put together. And they're trying to get it to fly.
Okay, so back in the day, this guy had this house, and he didn't work at an airplane manufacturing plant and was, like, taking home a piece every other day kind of thing. No. Next thing you know, he had a whole airplane up in his attic. You know, I don't think it was one of
maybe
those.
Maybe he manufactured them because, you know, he didn't have all the regulations that we have today.
Right.
So maybe he was just making them on his own foundry. Who knows?
Yeah, but interesting. But they, when they realized all this wrapped up, you know, metal pieces of machinery were up in the air, they say, "Hey, this is an airplane."
Yeah,
how about that?
That'd be pretty cool to find.
That would be interesting. And that idea, if you are working, you know, up in Wichita, the Cessna plant, or don't take me up on that advice. They'll catch you if you try to sneak home. Like, we won't need this Cali, we'll take this home today. You know, I got that idea from somebody in Cuba, by the way. You know, when you go down there to Cuba. Now and you go through one of those programs. You know, they have the cigar rolling factories,
right,
you can buy your packaged boxes of cigars. But there's this whole underground economy. They don't tell Fidel this, but supposedly there's people. Supposedly, I've heard this story that they're on the line rolling cigars down there in Cuba, and they'll roll one, put it in the box, and roll another one, put it in the box, roll another one, put it in their pocket. roll another one, put it in the box, roll another one, put it in their pocket. And then they'll take these home, and after a week or two, they'll have their own box after they bring a box back from the line. And then they'll sell this on an underground economy type thing in Cuba, and they'll make a few extra bucks for them folks that are only making, like, you know, $20 a month.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you could apply that philosophy to an airplane. Maybe that's what this guy did. We don't know.
Awfully big lunchbox to get a wing home.
That would be a little tough to fit, you know, some of those pieces down your shorts and try to walk out the office there with.
Although you might get a lot of attention from some ladies.
You might. You very well might. And, you know, how that works out for you, well, that's your problem. Okay, so.
But that could be that'd be a pretty awesome find. I mean.
That'd be a great find. I mean, you know, I'm actually, it might inspire me to jump up in my attic to just see, is there any chance there's some, the previous homeowner left an airplane in my attic for me? That's something you might want to check, too. Yeah, a little public service announcement for our friends.
There you go.
Listening to Just Plain
Clean
Radio
out
today.
Your attic. It's That's springtime. Right. Clean them out.
Yeah, why not?
See what you can find.
It would make sense. All right, so I know it's old enough, or maybe you've even seen this movie, Back to the Future.
Why do you say it's old enough, even you?
Because you don't watch TV, movies, or, you know, any of that kind of stuff.
But you insinuated that I'm old. Okay, well, that's right, I am. Go ahead.
Exactly. Back to the Future. Heard of this? Right. You've heard of this
movie? I've heard of this movie.
Yeah, have you seen it?
I don't believe I've seen that movie.
Okay, that figures. Okay, so there's this thing in there, the hoverboard. It's as popular as, like, the flying car. People are like, hey, we had flying hoverboards in Back to the Future, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Where are they now? And there's been a couple companies try to put them out. They get those little rolling hoverboards that came out, you know, a couple years ago that catch on fire. So that kind of backfired.
The ones that we tried to and played with at Sun and Fun?
Exactly. And luckily, ours didn't catch on fire. But it does look like somebody has applied hoverboard technology and drones and combined them into something that actually might make this type of thing work.
By the way, you didn't come over to my house last week.
What do you mean?
Remember, you were supposed to come over to my house last week to watch the drone land and bring my little thing, you didn't come by.
Well, I didn't want to be arrested or shot. I figured that was my two alternatives.
I'm still here.
Okay, so that all worked out for you?
Everything worked out fine.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they got it to you on time.
Actually, that one day
they got it to you early, and it was delivered by drone.
It was delivered by a drone.
Okay. Well, you know, sometimes you just got to take Keith's word for it, or just know that he's. You know, he's probably having a breakdown, and he's telling you the truth. So, just leave it at that. But no, this other thing, this is legit. This guy, there was a video a few weeks ago of a guy who actually got on top of a, you know, like a quadcopter type thing, okay. A really powerful one, and flew across the water. You know, stood up on it and flew this thing over, and that was kind of cool. And, you know, when you look at the video, you kind of think, okay, wait, maybe this was like, you know, Hollywood tricks and that kind of thing. But I guess it was legit. But now, you know, there's some inventors that are competing against each other. And this new guy is the guy who developed the flying, let's see, what is the flyboard, which is like propelled up out of the water with a jet ski exhaust. Have you seen those things?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So some of them are jet-packed, like, and yeah, they've been on TV quite a bit. Well, the guy who's invented that has invented a new one that's powered by, without any hose or jet power. It's powered like a drone. So with a jet engine under it.
So I wonder if Neil's going to try and fly this one to the islands.
Yeah, you know what? He should. The dive god, this would be something right up his alley. Or maybe we ought to give it a go. I mean, when you watch the video, it doesn't look that hard. He's just standing on this, like, you know, drone, like you would see one of those drones.
I wonder how fast it goes.
It's like 93 miles an hour.
It wouldn't take long to get to the islands.
Wouldn't take long at all. And this thing, it can go, like, I mean, pretty high. I mean, the video that I've seen, they set a record a couple weeks ago. I forget how far, but, I mean, it was, you know, several thousand feet. 7,000 feet, I guess. And
I'm not sure I want to go 7,000 feet.
Why? No,
there's airplanes
distance,
up there.
Distance.
Oh,
not
okay.
Height. You know, and he probably went upwards of. It says he can get to a height of 10,000 feet with a maximum of 93 miles per hour. This happened in France, by the way. It looks really cool, but can you imagine having to avoid not just drones, but people flying on top of them?
You know, many, many years ago during my flight training, I almost hit a skydiver.
Really?
And,
okay.
And that's bad enough.
Yeah, that's not good.
You know, skydiver come down through the clouds.
Yeah.
And
he went right in front of your wing or something or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, really? You didn't see him coming? You just saw a body drop?
I personally didn't see him coming because I was under the hood.
Yeah.
You know, where the view limiting device. I was doing some training.
Oh, and so your instructor saw it?
So my instructor, all of a sudden the instructor just says, "My airplane," and throws the airplane into a really hard bank. My head slammed against the window, you know, and I was like, man, what's going on?
And, wow. So he saw it at least far enough away that he made a maneuver.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it came so close, I mean, it could drop right in front of you.
Right.
And you wouldn't see him until it was like, oh, my God, was that a body that just zoomed by the airplane?
Spaghetti for dinner.
Yeah, maybe. So you're saying you're not a fan of this idea.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
There's potential user conflicts is
yes,
what I...
Yes.
Even though it's very cool.
I mean, where are you going to fly it? I mean, fly
everywhere.
It over the water to the Bahamas? That's all right.
Okay. Just keep them out of the way of our planes.
That's right.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Decompression sickness, DCS, diver's disease, the bends. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll explain what it is and how divers avoid it next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
The simple joys of walking, dancing, and swimming can be taken from you by paralyzing bends after a dive. Your risk is affected by dive depth, time and ascent rate, your body composition, and health. You can reduce your risk by taking care of your health and diving conservatively within the limits of your dive training. Don't let your fear of the bends keep you out of the water, but be cautious. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
To know me is to fly with me. This is where I live.
Fly away, fly away. Ask of the bird to take us away.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. Ed will be back with us next week. He's just he's probably flying or something, doing something way more constructive than we are. We're just talking about it. But we're enjoying it, though, right, Keith?
We always have a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, just a little update. Last week I did mention that I had applied for my global entry, and I have been approved. I am now official. They got my fingerprints and everything.
So is that why Hogan was removed?
That might be, because as part of my global entry clearance, I also get TSA pre. So I can skip those three-hour lines at Midway and O'Hara and Chicago.
Orlando.
And Orlando, where we're based out of. And, So I wasn't going to wait for him to be fired. It actually, I did
so
that.
You caused him to be fired.
Yeah, I think they approved me, and then it was the next day they announced that he was leaving. So, or he's not leaving. He just got reassigned to some other department or division. I think he's like, he's not the head of TSA.
He's not the head of TSA
now. He's
anymore.
Just in security or something. I think that's what I heard. I don't know. Who knows?
I just know he's not there anymore.
It's been a restructuring. Yeah.
Because of the extremely long lines, not enough screeners have been trained. And
another reason why you should fly GA.
And the fact that he got a $90,000 bonus when he didn't do what he was supposed to do, which was shorten the lines and the wait times.
Yeah, exactly. Among other things, yeah.
More government corruption.
You think that's what it was, corruption?
Are you trying to get me started?
Well, I mean, why not? I mean, that makes for great radio. When you pop a vein, I know ratings are instantly going through the roof. But, I think if nothing else, it's another argument to fly with general aviation. Get your own plane.
It is a huge argument for that, because now what they've done, they removed him, and now they have made a new committee. I forget what they call this, the national, they're going to watch what's going on. They're going to track everything that's going on every day. So now that we're paying more people to be in TSA to watch what's going on at the airports all around the country, like that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So you're not seeing a solution in the immediate future is what you're trying to say.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
So the solution would be to take it private, take TSA private.
Oh, yeah.
I will tell you that global entry thing. I am very thankful I got this done finally. And when I signed up for it, it took literally almost 2 months from the day I signed up to get approved for this, which seemed a little ridiculous to me from the standpoint that it literally took not even 5 minutes to do the interview. I mean, you go online, you fill out this this form of some of your travel history and personal information, blah, 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 blah. And then, that takes a little bit of time. Not really. It's fairly easy, right? And then you schedule an appointment, and actually they spit back to you, when they're available. And it was like a month and a half later. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Oh, geez. And luckily my schedule is somewhat flexible, being that I only work 4 hours a week. So I was able to take the first appointment they gave me. But God help you if you have a real job and have to work around their, availability on when the interviews are offered to you in the system. So anyway, I took the first one and I got it. But when I went in the first time, the fingerprint scanner was not working. So they did everything but that. But it didn't even take 5 minutes to do that part of, they ask you a couple of questions. Where you been? What do you do? Da, da, da. Okay, that sounds good. You seem okay with us. All right, cool. Put your fingers here and that's not working. You're going to have to come back. So I had to take a two-step process. That happens. I'm not going to complain about that. But the fact that the interview literally took less than 5 minutes, I'm thinking, wait a minute. I could have went to the airport and, before going on my plane, they should have had just like a little kiosk area off to the side. Like, hey, you want to sign up for TSA pre? Come over here if you got the time. You got a layover.
What they've done is they've already pre-screened you. So they've run everything through CIA, FBI, all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's what you do.
So they know. So
yeah. But they could do that at the airport in a kiosk type of system, I would think. I didn't get the point of having to do all this stuff in advance. Or maybe you could do that online stuff on advance, but then when you go to the airport, they, have them set up, these interview processes and have a queue line like, hey, you got an extra 20 minutes where our line is 15 minutes if you want to get an interview to find out if you've been approved.
Yeah.
And they could streamline that TSA pre process. Now, I did Global Entry, which I would highly recommend because it's only $15 more. So, TSA pre to get you through all those lines quicker. You don't have to take your shoes off and all that kind of stuff, supposedly. That's like $85. To get Global Entry, which gets you into the country if you travel outside the country quicker, using their kiosk, your passport, and your fingerprints, that can expedite your process through customs. And that is only $15 more, and it includes TSA pre, so you might as well get it. So,
or you should just fly GA.
Or you should just buy an airplane. So $100 or new airplane, your pick. Well, maybe not new airplane. Get a used one. Save a few
just
bucks.
Get an airplane. Share an airplane.
Find a flying friend that you can work with. That's what I'm doing right now.
And, you know, it works so well. You know, I mean, we can leave Orlando Executive. We can go out to the islands. We can go anywhere we want. We can come right back into Orlando.
Yeah.
Clear Customs right there, and it's 5 minutes.
That's the truth. If you fly private or go into a general aviation airport like Orlando Executive or any, executive airport across the country, and you're not familiar with the process they go through, comparing to just flying on the commercial carriers, you will kick yourself going, oh, why can't I do this all the time? Because that's the way it should be for everybody. But it does cost a few bucks, I guess. You got to take that into account. But, hey, that's why.
How long did it take what there was six of us that came back from the islands last time, right?
Yeah.
How long did it take us to clear customs?
Not even 10 minutes. Maybe, right?
And that was from the time we pulled up on the ramp to the time we were starting engines to head back over to our tie down.
Yeah, it was no stress. I mean, it's just the way to travel. And that's why we do this show, to encourage you to take that plunge into becoming a private pilot. And on that note, we'll leave it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site for Morbid.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.